John 8, verses 31 through 59. These are the words of God. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. No. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." And they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death, and he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So far the reading of God's word. So verse 31 starts out by saying, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him," or who believed him, rather. Ezekiel, who is speaking? Jesus, who is God, that's true. And to whom was he speaking, Victoria? Which ones? John? The ones that believed him, which makes the rest of the conversation even more interesting, doesn't it? This is not the ones who initially rejected what he had to say. This is the ones who believed him, that he is from God, believed him, so they thought, that he is from God, believed him, so they thought, that he is going to his Father, believed him, that he is the Christ. Okay, so there are certain things that Jesus said that they were agreeing with, but they weren't trusting in him as their God. Okay, that's pretty clear, because at the end when he says, "I am," and they realize he really means that he is Yahweh, what do they try to do? Kill him. Interesting that Jesus didn't lie in order to save his life when they challenged him with, "Who are you?" in that life and death situation. He told the truth. He said, "If I say that I am not he, then I would be a liar like you are." But, and he says, the devil is a liar and the father of it. Okay, so Jesus is talking to those who had believed him, who had agreed with certain things that he said. It says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So he said, okay, you're agreeing with some of the things I said. You have to decide that you're going to stick with whatever I say. Because my true disciples are those who stick with whatever I say. That's a very important thing that Jesus says. Because there are a lot of people... Close that door, please. There are a lot of people who say they trust in Jesus. And they say, "Oh, I trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins." And then lots of things that Jesus says in the Bible, they say, "Well, I don't know about that. That's kind of narrow. That's kind of intolerant. We got to be more accepting. We got to get along." And they start rejecting things that Jesus says. Now, Jesus is talking here to people who agreed with him about some things. But he's telling them that just agreeing with me this one time doesn't make you my true disciple. My true disciples are the ones who stick with whatever I say. And that needs to be something that you resolve by God's grace to you in your heart, that you are going to stick with whatever Jesus says as long as you live. If the Bible says it, and it's all the words of Jesus, if the Bible says it, you are going to stick with it. You are going to abide in it. Because he is God. And you cannot have hope or life outside of him or apart from him. So he says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now they are upset. Because Jesus just suggested that they have been slaves. And they get angry and say, "We've never been slaves to anyone. We're Abraham's children." And of course the Israelites were often slaves. So that's kind of a weird thing for them to say. It just shows how little they understand what the Bible teaches. And Jesus tells them, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Don't you realize that you came into this world as a slave of sin? Every one of us needs to realize that about ourselves. Either you were a slave of sin, and you have trusted in Jesus, and he has set you free, and you are thankful that he has set you free, or you were a slave of sin, you have not trusted in Jesus, and you're still a slave of sin. Those are the only two options. They wanted a third option. They wanted the option, you were pretty good, you needed someone to come and be your leader and your deliverer and your king, but not really to save you from slavery to sin. You are naturally good yourself. That's what they wanted. They didn't want somebody who had saved them from being slaves. Lots of people think this way. That they really mean well. They got a little hard time on the follow through. But God and they've got an understanding, and they're doing best they know how, and God sure appreciates that. This is the religion of many people. Don't let that be the way you think in your heart. You were a slave of sin, and if you have not trusted in Jesus, you are still a slave of your sin. Every one of us needs Jesus to set us free from our sins. Okay, so he picks up on their saying that they have Abraham as their father, and they say, "We are Abraham's descendants." He says, "I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." So he's talking to which Jews, Beatrice?
The
ones who believed him. And yet he knows that they're seeking what, Carissa? John, Emmett? John? Seeking to kill him. And they don't even say, "We're not trying to kill you." And earlier, someone had said, "Yeah, you're mad. Who's trying to kill you?" But the whole crowd knew that they wanted to kill him. Now they don't even argue that point. They argue about the "who's their daddy" part. Okay, so they're like, "Yeah, we're seeking to kill you. We still have Abraham as our father." And Jesus said, "Well, you sure don't act like Abraham's kids. You don't bear the family resemblance." Okay? "You seek to kill me," he says, "a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." So they raise the stakes. Okay, they say, "We have one father." Now whom do they say is their father, Ezekiel? Yeah. They say, "Well, if you're not going to recognize Abraham as our father, God is our father." Jesus says, "No, strike two. God loves me too. I've been with God from all eternity. I am God. God the Father and I, God the Son. We live in perfect, eternal, blessed relationship. And when I came as a man, I came as the Father sent me." Okay? "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." So he says, "I am God, and as a man, I came from God." Now, obviously there's a disconnect between what Jesus is saying and what they're understanding. Okay? They will not acknowledge, they will not accept that they have been slaves from sin and they need Jesus to save them from slavery. And I wonder if you will accept that. If you are going to accept it, then you need God to make you able to listen to his word. This is one of the reasons why we keep praying every time we come along and we pray when we're reading the Bible, that the Lord would help us understand. Because he says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." You know, you need to be able to speak more than English. Ezekiel, give me your attention, please. Hi. You need to be able to speak more than English. You're real good at English now, Ezekiel. You're 5 years old, and you read the words prejudicial and injurious when you were doing your catechism question. Beginning of our family worship. But it's not just that we need to know the language. It's that we need God to give us soft hearts that are able to accept what He's saying, or we won't truly understand it. Even if we understand theological points, if we don't believe them and feel them about ourselves to be true, then we're not really understanding, are we? Does God teach us what He teaches us about sinners in the Bible just so that we'll say, oh yes, all men are sinners? Or so that each one of us will know our own self to be a sinner? It's so that each one of us will know our own self to be a sinner. So that each one of us will know our own self to need Christ. And so we need to pray that God would make us able to listen to the word of Jesus. Now, in the catechism question, who is Steely Guy? The one who is doing whatsoever is prejudicial to truth. And who is the first one who is ever prejudicial to truth? Satan was the original Steely Guy. He is the king of all Steely Guys, Stabby Guys, but here it's especially Steely Guys. Satan committed the first murder by lying. Lying was the first weapon in Satan's tool bag. He is a liar, the scripture says here, and the father of it. He doesn't want you to know that you're a sinner. He doesn't want you to know that you need to be saved by Jesus. He doesn't want you to know that you need to be set free. He doesn't want you to believe that Jesus is God who became a man to die for you and to set you free. He is the original Steely Guy. He wants to steal all those truths from your mind and heart. In fact, if he can get you to just think, yes, that stuff is all true about humanity in general, I'm glad that I know these truths. That makes me safe. What has he just done? He has used one truth to steal from you another truth. That it's not knowing those things that makes you safe, but Jesus who makes you safe. That he came to set you free. And that you trust in him and remain in his word. That you don't just agree with his word, but that you hold to it and believe in whatever he says. And so Satan committed murder from the beginning by that lie. And if you believe the lies of the devil, if you don't receive these truths about yourself and trust in Jesus, the devil will use that lie to kill your soul. Oh, my children, I love you. I want to spend eternity with you in glory. I want to see you holding on to Jesus and to have your soul safe with him. To say not so much thank you that I had a daddy and mommy who trained me and taught me to pay attention to your word. Not even thank you that you enabled me to have all this good theology. But thank you that you made me to hold on to Jesus, to trust in him, to dwell in, abide in, remain in, continue in his word, that I would cling to him alone. Anyway, so they get very angry at this discussion. They don't want to trust in Jesus like that. Satan, the original Steely Guy and the original Stabby Guy, is killing them with his lies. And they actually say, are we not right in saying you're a Samaritan and have a demon? Now, was Jesus a Samaritan? No, he was a Galilean. Very, very big difference. They're just resorting to calling names. Yeah, maybe the Galileans and the Samaritans had similar sounding accents if you were from Jerusalem. But they're just calling names to avoid facing what Jesus is saying. And of course, Jesus won't let them avoid facing it. He takes their saying, you have a demon. He says, no, actually, I am God. And I'm speaking from God. A demon is not responsible for what I'm saying to you. God is responsible for what I'm saying to you. And if you were children of Abraham, he brings it back. He says, God is going to, not only do I not have a demon, but God is going to judge you if you don't accept what I say. Okay, because that's what the great judge does. They say a demon is responsible for your words. He says, no, God is responsible for my words, and you are responsible to believe God's word. And if you don't, he's going to judge you. But if you keep my word, you won't even die. And then they get into the argument about death. And that's what eventually gets them to Jesus, you know, to saying, who are you? And Jesus doesn't hide the truth. So I'm not going to lie like you guys would have me do and end up being just like you. I'll tell you who I am. I am. Period. And they recognize what he's doing, because who else had a conversation like that? Someone on a mountain. Moses in the burning bush. Exactly. God sends him to say something, and he says, I should probably tell them. They're going to want to know who sent me. Who are you? And God says, I am. Flufta. So they say, who are you? And Jesus says, I am. Full stop. Who's Jesus saying that he is?
God.
He says, I've had this conversation before. I had this conversation with Moses, who you guys think so highly of, and he had to remove his shoes because he was standing in front of the bush where I was making my presence known. I am. Now, for them, that was infuriating. They tried to kill him. But for us, it's invigorating, because the one who came to give his life for us, to set us free from our slavery to sin and death, to save us so that God won't even judge us if we trust in him, is God himself. The one who made his presence known in the bush is the one who became a man for us, lived for us, died for us, and rose again for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this portion of your word. We pray that you would help each of us to not just agree theologically with the truth about ourselves, but that we would feel the weight of it, that we would feel the reality of it, that we are sinners and slaves of it, who needed Christ to save us. We pray that you would set each of us free. We pray that you would help each of us to abide in the word of Jesus as we cling to Christ himself. Please do this by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.